Ramble.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of the Smoshcast. We did not shoot it in our normal studio because I was all the way in New York at the YouTube Creator Summit. Basically, the Creator Summit is where YouTube gathers together a whole bunch of YouTubers and then throws them through a bunch of presentations and tries to inspire them. And it's actually just a way to get people there for YouTube's advertising summit so they could show a bunch of creators and be like, hey, look, people that make videos. The great thing for me about the Creator Summit is that it's a lot of cool YouTubers that I don't oftentimes see. One of the groups that was there is the Slow Mo guys, Gavin Free and Daniel Grouche. I'm afraid to pronounce his last name wrong. I've never heard him say it, so that's my bad if I fuck that up. they create a lot of these videos where, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. They do slow motion videos. They always find really cool stuff to shoot in slow motion. And they're just good guys. Gavin Free also works over at Rooster Teeth, which I am also a big fan of. And occasionally the two of them get together and make awesome videos. So I was fortunate enough to get about 45 minutes with them. That's all the time we really had at the Creator Summit. We were just bouncing from thing to thing to thing to thing. So they were gracious enough to give me their time. Most of this episode, we're talking about farts. So if you are offended by conversations about farts, maybe this isn't the best podcast for you, but if you don't mind a little fart humor, strap in, because it's a farty ride. We talk about other things too, though. Good guys, hilarious, and let's just jump right into it. Oh, and I apologize if the audio is a little bit weird. All we had was handheld mics, so hopefully it's not too bad. Okay, enjoy.
I thought I'd like broken my pelvis at first because it was in so much pain. And when I landed, the first thing that Gav said to me was, "Did you fart?"
I met him a couple of years ago, and it's just like a dude with a backpack. He was talking to me. I was like, "Oh, what did you?" Looked up his channel. I was like, "Jesus Christ!"
I mean, to me, a slow mo fart on a thermal cam sounds like that's like Avatar level sort of greatness.
He would always come around my house and pee really hard into the toilet.
What? All right.
Right in the mouth.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a super special Smoshcast with me, Ian Hecox, and my two friends, Daniel and Gav. Do you say Gav or Gavin? I don't know. Do you go by both or just Gavin?
Both. They both register to me as my name, so I don't really ever notice which version people are saying.
Okay. Well, Daniel and Gavin from the Slow Mo Guys, and also, well, you're also on Rooster Teeth.
Yes.
Gavin.
Yeah. Many channels.
Yeah. You're a man of many channels.
Are you.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a special Smoshcast, not just because it's short, because we're on a limited time window, but also because we are at the Creator Summit. Woo!
On the beach.
That was enthusiastic. I like that. Does it feel like you're on the beach with this giant hedge and everything?
I feel like I'm on the beach. Have you been to every Creator Summit?
No. Maybe the second time I've been invited.
Oh, okay. Second.
I think maybe I was invited one other time, but I think the first Creator Summit I might have been invited, but because of some other sort of YouTube gatherings that had happened in the past, I was like, oh, it might be a shit show. So I think I declined it, maybe.
That was the best one as well.
The first one. It was actually really good.
It was really good. Like, the stuff they did was great. You know, the guests were good. Like,
we have been to all of them. This is the fifth one.
What?
And I do find them useful. Huh. It's just fun, just like, even if you don't go to the seminars and stuff,
yeah,
it's just nice to see people.
I think that's the big sort of takeaway for the summit. For me, it's always about just meeting my peers and the people that I'm a fan of, and exploiting that as much as possible.
Yeah,
I mean, it's weird because the Creator Summit, as we're starting to realize as the years go on, I mean, I think it's sort of a way for, well, there's this thing called the New Fronts at in New York, and it's a way, it's basically all the giant companies that are online gather all the advertisers and they show them these big presentations and say, like, this is what we're doing this year. We have this show and this show and this show. Please give us your money, your ad dollars. And so YouTube does a really, really big one every year. And it just so happens to coincide with the Creator Summit. So I think it is partly because they do that because they have this huge gathering of YouTubers that then they send to the Brandcast, which is their NewFronts presentation. And they're like, look at all these awesome YouTubers that we have.
Yeah, we did a couple of things for that before, didn't we? I think the first time we did something. And we did something another time as well.
Yeah, we had a bunch of people come and throw paint on us for like an hour and a half. And we would make little mini slow-mos with them. And then...
I seem to recall you guys were in like a glass cube two years ago.
That was last year or two years ago?
The James Corden bit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So yeah, I was going to say like YouTube wheel us out for that. They literally wheeled us out. Yeah. We were in a box on wheels.
What?
On stage.
The first time though, when we had to do the thing with the fans where like they had like chuck paint on us and everything. Hmm. We finished and we were just like, how do we... get back.
It was very well thought out up to that point, but then once our bit was done, we couldn't sit down at Brandcast because we were caked in paint. We kind of just had to stand off to the side, and then we had to leave through. And if you've ever been, there's just people in suits, really expensive looking suits, and we were there.
I ruined like 7 suits with like paint.
We couldn't get in an Uber, so we just had to walk like 20 blocks
so far,
covered in paint in lab coats, and because it's New York. Just no one batted an eyelid.
Yeah, they just thought it was some kind of like presentation of some sort.
Just people from the city.
Is that when I absolutely twatted my shin?
That was a different time. Yeah.
What, your shin?
I was just on my phone. And you know how in New York there's like those like basement things with the doors
like
open?
Cellar doors.
Yeah.
The cellar doors, right?
Yeah.
And I was just on my phone. And you know, in England, we don't really have those. So there's not really like...
Well, you have them by pubs and
that
stuff,
you have to walk out. Yeah, and they're usually like, you know, safely guarded with like bars over and stuff like that. I absolutely cracked my shin on the like sharp edge of one of those.
Oh no!
And this guy was just stood there. I think he was like just hanging out. Like he just goes, I was like on the floor at this point, like almost crying. He was just like texting. Because I was just texting on my phone. He was like, you texting?
It was like the biggest bong sound. It was like someone whacked a gong. But it was his shin hitting this metal door.
Oh, so much. Hurt so much.
You know that guy just sits there and just gets enjoyment out of people whacking their shins on those.
He's probably seen like 7 people fall into those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just be lucky you didn't go over it and down the stairs.
Oh, that would suck.
Yeah. But, you know, it's America, so I think you could have sued someone quite easily.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
I've just realized that one of the things in my hotel room is out of date. What do I do about that? I wanted to use it, but I was like, do I use it or not? It was the hangover cure thing. There's like a hangover box.
Yeah.
Mm. And it went out of date in January. I'm like, what the hell? I don't want no one, you know, want to open it and find out that there's like stuff that's all out of date and things.
What's in it that could be bad?
I looked at the hangover cure thing because I was like, oh, what's in the hangover cure
that
they know that I don't? And it's literally... It explained it was like 2 Tylenol and some emergency.
And a mint.
Yeah. And some mints. I'm like, no, it's not a hangover cure.
I'm tempted by the Tylenol though, to be fair. Even if it is out of date. Yeah,
that might help a little bit. You know, it'll thin your stomach lining a little bit, but you know, who needs that?
I went downstairs just a minute ago and they're doing like these like little things where you can get like a massage, mm-hmm. you know, or like a little...
Oh yeah, I saw the express facial. Did you do one?
I went down there like probably like 10 to, like 20 minutes ago, and the only one they had available, they were all fully booked, was a B12 shot.
Yeah. So is that injected in your bloodstream?
I was like, what the hell is that? And they literally get a needle and inject you with a literal like shot, like you're getting a flu shot.
But what does
that
do?
B12. It's supposed because I've got the hangover and I was like, you know, sod it. They were like in 45 minutes. You'll like, get a bit of a buzz, like a bit more energy, and like it's good for the immune system and stuff. I was like, I feel like I'm like juicing here. Like, what a weird thing to offer people downstairs. Yeah. Like, you can have a facial, you can be palm red, or you can have a shot.
Well, it's like there's places in Vegas vitamin. Where you can get people to come and just put a drip on you. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that actually works. Like, I know a guy that was an EMT, and he was also like a club bro, and him and his bros would go out and party in a club. Then the next morning, they'd all get IV bags and plug right in.
How much does that cost? Is it like...
I have no idea. I'm guessing maybe they just stole it out of their ambulances. But
it's out of date. Yeah, whip it on, Gary.
They actually pour some emergency into the bags, yeah. So you get a little bonus.
I feel like as I get older, that sounds more and more appealing. As I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but as I get older, hangovers are worse. Mate,
these days, I'm having like 2-day hangovers.
Honestly, there have been times where I'm kind of reluctant to go out ever at this point, just because I'm much more tired than I used to be. I feel like I get hungover before I get drunk sometimes.
Oh.
I feel like I'll just be like, I'm feeling like a slight headache and I'm not having fun yet. Yeah. So it's just like, what's the point in drinking?
Blech.
Yeah. I mean, I sometimes have a couple of drinks on a plane. This is always a stupid idea. But one time I had some drinks. I had like smashed a few and I just fell asleep. And then I woke up on the flight hungover.
Oh,
it was the worst.
You're dealing with like double dehydration. It was the worst. On a plane as well. Yeah. You shouldn't really booze on a plane.
Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah. I've done it a couple times, but drinking on a plane is weird because like you're just kind of stuck in this chair. I feel like I get really gassy on a plane if I'm drinking on a plane. Yeah. It's like it's not a great situation. But
if you do get gassy, there's a lot of other people that it could be. So you can sometimes get away with it if you
care. Oh, I let loose. I don't care.
You just don't care?
No.
No. Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, once we're done taxiing, we're in the air, we're making all that noise. You know, I am courteous. I don't lift cheek and
you don't
like,
lift cheek and
fly
do
it into people's face. But
that's fair.
If you could, would you fart towards the window or the aisle? If you could.
Oh, I mean, yeah. If I was in an aisle seat, I guess I would throw it into the aisle. You know, I'm not. You know, it's not going directly into anybody, unless there's like a kid like walking through the aisle when I did
just
it.
Get, like pink eye.
Yeah. No, I keep itself. I keep it contained into the cushion, you know, so yeah. It diffuses a little bit before it gets, you know, released into.
You can get those pants and stuff that like contain it as well, can't you? There's like those fart pants, like boxer shorts with like this special padding that like soaks up farts.
That can't be real.
I think it's real. It's
like a fart sponge.
Yeah, like a fart sponge. It like filters out the fart. I'm pretty sure that's real.
Are you sure?
I think it's real. Like a fart capture thing. I mean, maybe.
Who is that for though? For other people?
I guess it's to like if you've got like bad like gut problems, then you're constantly like letting rip.
Yeah.
But it's embarrassing. You don't want to, you know, have to constantly leave every 5 minutes.
How much were your fart pants?
Like $30.
That was a great deal.
Yeah, no. I want some though. See if they work.
Have you guys done a slow-mo infrared?
We
fart.
Have actually talked to FLIR, the thermal imaging company, about, because they have a high-speed camera. It only goes up to 1,000 frames a second, and it records in this weird circular format.
Uh-huh.
But if we do manage to get hold of it for a video, that's the first thing I want to do.
Did you tell them that's the first thing you want to do?
Well, I didn't want to insult them. But
they're like, so what do you guys want to do? Like flamethrowers? You want to like burn rubber?
Like something scientific, maybe.
Like,
but there's also like different methods of infrared, so I'm not actually sure it would register in the air.
Like,
it might
real?
Have to be on a surface,
like,
but
yeah, can you, like, I've seen those videos of people yeah. fight, but is that real? I feel like it's not real.
I think no. It's real.
No. I don't think it's real.
Like the infrared, like in an airport, somebody farted.
Yeah, and there's like the black comes out of the.
Yeah, it's like the cloud.
I feel like it's not real.
That's real.
Yeah, I just don't know if it'd work. Like, even with a FLIR
Well,
camera.
FLIR would know, so you guys should ask them.
You should probably ask before you get it.
I was just too embarrassed to ask.
So if you,
they're
if
very
you,
like scientific, you know, engineers and all that.
If you manage to get the camera, we fart into it. It doesn't work.
Fart into it.
What are you going to do then? You're going to be like, oh, better send it back then. Didn't work.
It was actually cool. The demo they showed me, they just snapped a pencil.
Oh, yeah.
And you could see where it got hot because of the strain. And then it pings off. And it's like, that is cool.
But that's not a fart.
It's not a fart.
It's not as cool as a fart.
Snapping a pencil doesn't have the same, you know, clickable thumbnail as a, you know, slow-mo fart infrared.
Yeah. Especially
Totally watch that video. I don't. I guess I'd watch the pencil one too.
Would you want to be in the video?
For the fart?
Yeah. Just like,
yeah.
You would do a fart double. Like you come
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Fun, like a stunt, but fart. It's like a fart.
I'll come to Austin. I'll eat a bunch of those delicious baked beans.
Yeah. We've got a good barbecue that'll work something up inside you.
Yeah. And then we'll just let her rip.
Do you always talk about this stuff on your podcasts? Like farts and that?
I just see where the adventure takes us.
Mm.
You know? I mean, to me, a slow-mo fart on a thermal cam sounds like, you know, that's like Avatar level sort of, you know, greatness. And I just want to take a quick moment to say that we got two sponsors today, baby! Listening makes us smarter, more connected people. It makes us better partners, parents, and leaders. And there's no better place to start listening than Audible. Audible is where so many inspiring voices and compelling stories open listeners up to new experiences and ways of thinking. Audible members get more than ever. Members choose three titles every month, one audiobook plus two Audible originals that you can't hear anywhere else. With the convenient app, members can access Audible anytime, at the gym, while commuting, on the go, and on any device. It will always pick up right where they left off. Audible also offers free and easy audiobook exchanges, credits you can roll over for a year, and a library you keep forever, even if you cancel! A book that I've been looking at recently is The Big Picture. It's about this journalist that looked at all the Sony hack emails and is basically breaking down the current state of movie making. And you guys can start listening with a 30-day Audible trial, and your first audiobook plus two Audible originals are free. All you gotta do is visit audible.com/smosh or text smosh to 500-500. That's audible.com/smosh, S-M-O-S-H, or text smosh, S-M-O-S-H, to 500-500. But back to you smashing your shin on that grate. You kind of alluded to me this morning that you're a little bit accident prone.
I wouldn't say I was accident prone. Like, I'm actually quite good at not getting injured. It's just that I constantly, in situations, that would be making me more likely to be injured.
Okay.
Like, what I mean, I do.
Just the way our channel has worked out, we used to both try and be in the shots, but with an unmanned Phantom, you don't always get the best stuff. So we just kind of fell into the routine of just, I'll always do the camera and you'll always be the guinea pig.
Convenient.
Yeah.
So I've actually had, like, I was in the army and I didn't really get in, like, for like 7 years. I didn't get injured or, like, nothing happened to me, thankfully. I've had way more injuries from shooting stuff, like, way more. One time I was in Afghanistan, right? And I had to go into, like, the field hospital, right? Because I had a piece of glass in my finger from the slow-mo guys.
No.
Yeah. So, like, there was people, you know, like, with serious, like, in, like, wounded people coming in, all this sort of stuff. And I was like, yeah, I've got glass in my finger from back home.
That was our first video to get demonetized. And that was in, like, 2011. Because that was, like, an early days demonetization.
Because of the blood?
Yeah, the blood.
Yeah.
It was a glass jar exploded.
It had, like, a bunch of paint in and it exploded. We didn't think to use plastic cups for some reason. We used glass jars, like, idiots.
Looking back, we were much less safe when we were completely unknown.
Well, dude, like, several years ago on YouTube Rewind, when Anthony was still with Smosh, they wanted us to recreate I'm on a boat, and they wanted us to clink champagne, like, glasses.
Was that the 2013 one?
Sounds about right. No, it might have been like 2014 or 15. I don't really quite remember when. We clinked the glasses, and they're like, oh no, like, can you guys do it harder? Like, we really want to see the champagne go flying. We're right. Like, okay. So, like, we hit the glasses and the glass, like, cracked. And we're like, oh, okay. And so he's like, oh, all right, let's just try one more. So we got new glasses. We go to clink it really hard. Glass breaks and shreds Anthony's thumb.
Oh, God.
And
that was such a stupid idea.
Yeah.
What did he think was going to happen?
I don't
know. Like, where was the safety guy? Like, seems fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They could have just used plastic glasses or anything.
Yeah. And we were out in the water. We weren't on land. We like drove this boat out of the marina.
Oh, you really did it on a boat?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that there are movies that would green screen that, like Hollywood movies. But YouTube Rewind does it for real.
They did it for real.
Yeah, we need the real chink there. We need the real. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're all about realism.
Yeah, absolutely.
In YouTube Rewind.
Is that very typical of your guys' relationship that he would be the one to get injured?
He cracked his tooth at least twice in video. No, maybe three times. He had cracked his, like, the fake part of his front tooth because he had broken his tooth in high school. Kids swung a tennis racket, hit him in the face. So he had, you know, like a fake part, and he broke it two or three times in videos, just random things that he was having to bite. One time he kind of broke my nose in a video. We needed him to fake punch me, but because of the camera angle, he needed to use his left hand, and he's right-handed. So he swung with his left hand and just cracked me right in the nose.
Whoa.
And it bled a little bit.
Was that in the cut, that take?
We didn't even use that take. We used a different take.
Why would you not use that take?
Because strangely, the one where I actually get punched looks less realistic.
What?
Yeah. Because I'm just like, I'm shocked. Like, it shocked me that he actually punched me in the face. I was like,
Yeah, I guess in an action movie, when you take a punch, you're meant to take the punch, not go,
Oh, he hit me in the face. I like that he broke your nose with his offhand. With
yeah.
His, like,
didn't know his reach with that arm, I guess. Yeah.
It was weird. And then, like, I was looking in the mirror. I was like, I can't tell if it's off, but it kind of looked like it was a little bit off. But I didn't go to the hospital or anything. I was like, I think maybe it's just the swelling or something. And then I got home, and my dog, who's a German Shepherd, I was playing with her, and she just like bat me in the face with her paw and hit me right in the nose. And I think she actually corrected it.
Like, yeah, it doesn't look broken.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I mean, he didn't like super break. He didn't like Owen Wilson my nose. You know, like, it was just like, it was very minimal. I think that that's about as far as like injuries go. Yeah. So, he sliced his thumb, and luckily they had a medic there. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, just put a Band-Aid on it, whatever. It doesn't seem too deep. But then it just kept bleeding. And the guy was like, you should probably go to the hospital and get some stitches.
Oh, my God.
And that's a wrap.
Seems good.
And then I don't think we were invited for the rewind.
Like
the
it was your fault.
Yeah.
We don't trust him. Yeah, we both got injured on our first YouTube original, Slow Show.
Yeah.
Dan broke his wrist.
It was my thumb.
His thumb trying to impress Tony Hawk. Dropping in on his 14-foot vert ramp.
Yeah, that was an experience.
Yeah,
I'm glad I did it, though. It was totally worth it.
Yeah, you guys just showed that to me this morning. I'm sorry, but it was kind of funny.
It was worth it. Like, I wouldn't have done it if it, you know, first of all, it's going to be on YouTube. It's on YouTube, you know, forever probably, pretty much. You know, it was in front of Tony Hawk, a childhood hero.
Yeah.
You know, and if I hadn't have done it, I'd have had such a sense of, like, regret of, like, oh, you know, I could have done it and everything. But the fact that I did it, tried it, yeah, I absolutely smashed my hand to bits and couldn't walk properly for a week, but it was totally worth it.
Like, honestly, we went to dinner after he went to the hospital. It took him like 90 seconds to cross the street, like, on the way back to the car.
What happened was,
I felt so bad.
I landed on my like hand first, right? But then I'm a chunky bloke these days, and like I landed on my hips on my side with the rest of my like weight, and it like squished my pelvis together. I thought I'd like broken my pelvis at first because it was in so much pain, and I just couldn't walk properly for weeks. And when I landed, the first thing that Gav said to me was, did you fart?
Well, okay, it smelled really bad right by the landing site, and we were just basically just walked into he had farted on impact, it turns out. but I think because of the compression, it was sort of like a deep gut.
So what had like happened within? Oh, no. If you imagine, like, you fall in like 15 feet, and it's like I was squashed, like I was fully emptied out, like my like small and large intestines, I was completely like compressed by the landing, and it just forced all this like ass gas out of my ass.
Sure.
And Tony Hawk was just like walking into it politely, not mentioning anything, and like clearly it was just
after we'd done all the reaction, I leant down. I was like, "Dan, did you fart?" And you were just like, I don't know.
I was like, I don't know, maybe. It wasn't the main thing.
And I think we
actually
left that in the episode, me asking you whether you
farted. You see, obviously, I didn't, like, feel a fart come out. I wasn't, like, the first thought of going through my head, probably I farted. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So
That was one of the few things where I feel like a lot of the stuff you do, I would have given a go. Like, I used to want to be a stuntman as a kid. I used to love throwing myself around. That is the one thing you've done that I absolutely would not have done. It was like Johnny Knoxville levels of commitment. Because you basically knew that you were going to break something. I couldn't definitely break a bone.
I pretty much just threw myself off that, knowing that I was going to break.
Well, you did, because your body left the half pipe, and the skateboard went one way, and your body went the other way.
Yeah, it looked good for a very small period of time.
Right.
I mean, even with the Phantom extending that period of time, it wasn't a lot of time.
All right.
In the commentary, I say we might as well just film someone fall off a roof.
Yeah,
because that's
true.
That's the effect the skateboard had. It had absolutely nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, it's true.
But it was a bloody good effort.
I'm glad I did it, and it was totally worth it, because look, my thumb's fine. He said it was incredibly gnarly.
Yeah.
And I committed. Mm. He was impressed.
Coming from Hawkey himself.
Coming from Big Tony.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gave me a skateboard and was like, that was amazing. He signed it, everything. He put Way to Slam Dan on it. And I was like, that's, yeah. How cool is that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well worth
it. I wouldn't have done it.
No?
No.
Ah, oh, man.
But, I mean, that's the difference between you and me.
Well, I'll tell my grandkids, you know, when I'm like 80, I won't tell them, I could have done something in front of Tony Hawk, but I didn't. I'd be like, yes, I tried to do something, smash my arm, yeah. And I think it'd be worth it.
Yeah. One of my gnarliest slams was last month. I was walking down my stairs and I stopped for a moment to try to blow out a candle and I slipped on the stairs and then just
wait. You have candles on the stairs?
No. So
do you? Is your house lit by candles? Is that?
Yes, I live in a castle.
Yeah.
No,
he's been staying at Winterfell.
No, there was a candle on kind of like this little like console sort of thing that I had next to the stairs, and I was like, oh shit, I gotta blow a candle out, because you know you don't want to leave a candle just burning in a room, and so I turned for a moment to blow it out, but my lower half of my body was like, well, what are you doing? And I missed something, and then I just proceeded to have the most pathetic fall downstairs. We're just like, da, 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 da. Just like down the side of me. I had the gnarliest bruise on my hip.
That was anyone in the house?
No, I was all alone, which scared.
So no one could even see it either?
Yeah.
No one even witnessed it?
But the scariest thing is like, yeah, what if I broke my hip? Nobody else is there. Like, what am I going to do? I guess I'd call 911. As an American, though, I'm afraid to call 911 because ambulances aren't free.
It sucks. It yeah. sucks so bad. It's like you really don't want to get hurt. Even if you've got insurance and everything, it's still going to cost you money. And also, you're like, is it worth it? Like, it's a real thing. It's like a risk. Whereas in England, I'm so glad to just be able to just be like, well, yeah, obviously, I can just go to the hospital.
And I called an ambulance for the first time in the US, and I got like a $900 bill just for that, like let alone the emergency room stuff. So I was like, that's a surprise.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, that's just the cost of freedom. Welcome to our country. Now I definitely get why there's the cliche of like old people falling downstairs and breaking their hips. I totally get it now. And now whenever I walk down my stairs, I'm like, careful.
Are you careful? You're more careful now.
Yes. Angeles.
Did you get carpet burn? Because that's always really painful.
Well, no, they're wood stairs. So that's just worse. Just nice and just slid all the way down.
Yeah, you want the cushioning of a little bit of carpet.
No, I think the carpet burns pretty bad.
I wasn't naked.
Why did I have carpet burn one time when I found out?
Because you were naked.
You were naked.
Probably. Yeah. That's probably true.
We had a naked incident, didn't we, at VidCon once?
Oh, we did. Yeah.
We went to VidCon. I live in Austin. He lives in England. So we usually meet. We only really see each other at these kind of events. And I got to VidCon really late. It's always in Anaheim, right? That's where they do it.
Yep.
And I got to the hotel. It was like 1 a.m. because I think I was shooting that day. So I took the latest possible flight. And I didn't realize they put us in the same room. And neither did he.
Nope.
So I walk in, sort of like, don't bother knocking because I assume it's my room. And the light from the hallway comes into the room, so sort of directly onto his anus, almost. Like it was like,
I sleep completely naked and I was turned over on my side. And my chocolate starfish was pointing directly at the door. Directly at the door. And I just see Gavin walk in, this beam of light go up my ass. And then this like slender man shadow figure in the door like,
were you sleeping on top of your bed, like above the covers?
It was hot, you know, it was warm.
I mean, I certainly don't sleep like that.
I do, and I
don't sleep without boxers on, so it was so shocking. Well, at first I had like a split second where I didn't think it was you, because I didn't recognize you by your cornhole.
Would that make it worse or better if it was someone else? Because then you don't have someone else that person ever again. And
right.
It
would have been better
asshole.
If it was someone else. Yeah, because I could have put the whole thing behind me and just gone and found my actual room or got him out of my room. But obviously, then I had to figure it out and then go to bed next to you.
It
was two like bed. Twin beds.
Two twin beds.
Oh, okay.
Do you ever have that with Ian or with Anthony or anyone like that?
No. The only... Yeah, no. Luckily... Because usually if you're roommates with somebody for at least a year, it's highly likely you've seen their genitals.
Yes.
Did you guys ever live together?
No.
No.
Okay.
I've seen his genitals just because he just refuses to be careful.
Yeah, it's true. I've also never seen yours, I don't think.
No, I wear boxers. He loves to brag about the fact that he would always come around my house and pee really hard into the toilet.
What?
I had like this tiny little toilet next to my bedroom, and he would make sure I could hear him. So he'd just put the lid up and then just go like, and it'd be like.
I was trying to like bust a hole in the back of the toilet. Yeah.
Like. And I knew him for like just peeing really hard. So he started like taking videos of him just in like a. We went out for an Indian once, and he was there at the urinal.
Uh-huh.
And he was just filming his stream.
What?
Really? And it was
like forcing out like psst.
He was trying to film like the stream like really hard. So it was just like sent me a video of just a stream of piss. But what it was in the weird period where the iPhone screen was kind of like 4:3. It wasn't widescreen yet, but the video was widescreen. So basically what you could do on an iPhone then is you would double tap. And it would slightly zoom out because it would, by default, crop.
I'd been so careful with the framing.
Yeah. So I zoomed out and I was like, that's the tip of your penis.
No.
screen just caught the tip. Just the tip.
I was like, no, you're framing, Dan. This is a 720p video.
I was drunk at the time as well.
Yeah.
Like, I was drunk and I was like.
Well, I mean, if I hadn't zoomed out, impeccable framing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So just moments like that is why I've seen his junk.
Okay. Yeah. I had a guy on my cross country team. We called him the Vortex because he liked to run ahead of everyone and then take his pants down and show us his ass. And we called him the Vortex because his entire ass was covered in hair.
Oh, and a swirl pattern?
Yeah, and it all sort of swirled towards the anus.
Wow.
Do you think if he was in another hemisphere, it would go the other way?
Yeah, definitely.
If he was in Australia?
Yeah, it would. Kind of be going outward. Yeah.
Do you think he knows that his hair on his ass does that?
Oh,
you never really see your own ass that much, do you?
It's a badass name, though.
I don't generally like look at my own ass. Like, I don't really know what it looks like. He knows better than I do what my ass looks like. Actually.
I mean, I've seen it from an angle that you could never possibly see it,
unless I was like some sort of like elaborate rigged mirrors, sort of situation going on.
It'd be an apparatus.
Yeah, it really would.
So you guys have been to every single Creator Summit. So being that this is my second time, I've noticed a theme. They do a Q&A with Susan Wojcicki,
Robert Kinsel,
and their head of some other top guy. And they open it up for a short Q&A to these sort of top creators. And, you know, YouTube creators are not always happy with the platform. So it usually just turns into just a mess.
Yeah. Well, it's like the because I'm always pretty quiet at those. I've never stood up to ask anything.
Oh God, no.
Just because I don't want people to look at me because I'm scared. But a lot of people don't have that fear, and they'll ask a question and they'll get a response and then follow it up, and then it ends up just being like a room full of 200 people
and a conversation,
just watching a conversation.
Yeah.
But it's clearly like we should move on and go to other questions.
There was
but
just one
there's
guy.
Just no yeah. sense of like I should finish this 7-part question.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, this one guy just kept asking questions today, like constantly. It was like 5 minutes probably.
Yeah. And there was like people raising their hands, like waiting, like trying to be polite, and then the guy was like, yeah, but what about this? What about this? And it's like, dude, can you please just like...
And then you've got like other people raising their hands, but then someone else will just get the other mic and ask the next question. It's very like...
But it's
a lot
like...
of people have a lot of strong opinions, which, you know, they've based their income around this platform. So it's important.
I would like to see the difference between the European version of that and the like the different cultural differences. Do you know what I mean? I feel like the atmosphere would be slightly different and like people wouldn't be acting like that necessarily. Do you know what I mean? I'd like to see the difference.
Yeah, I've only gone to the very confident North American one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to go to the really repressed UK one. We're like, sorry.
Excuse me. No, okay. My CPM's crap.
Well, and it's just crazy that we actually get an audience with, you know, the heads of YouTube, which is, you know, one of the largest online platforms in the world.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of bugs me, like we can ask them whatever we want. This is our opportunity. And then somebody's like, so like I uploaded a video and like it didn't go out to like all my subscribers. And like somebody's like, well, you know, like the subscribe button and the bell button, like what's the deal with that? It's like, can we just like go a little bigger picture maybe? Like, can we ask a question that hasn't been asked before? Like, this is one opportunity.
It gets down to the point where like someone's stepping in, just being like, can you just email me the link and like while we'll look at it?
So yeah.
We can move on.
Or like, let's talk about this afterwards.
They do get blasted up there and I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do.
Because they don't, they're not like there are some pre-written questions, but a lot of them are just like people just standing up and kind of yelling at them. So I feel bad for them in that regard, but they handle themselves pretty well. They're very, you know, they're in the CEO position and, you know, CBO for a reason.
There's no like filter, like there's no one asking them what question they're going to ask first to make sure it's a good question.
Right.
So it could be anything.
I feel like
there should be someone like filtering out the questions first and being like, you can ask that question. It's a good question. Because some of them are all right.
Yeah.
There's some good ones. I also feel like they kind of build the room up a lot. And I guess there's a lot of subscribers in the room and a lot of views in the room. But if all those people were gone, there'd still be a ton. And it's still a perfectly functioning platform. Like, they don't have to do this event.
That's always...
That's why I appreciate it. That's why I come, honestly.
That's always been my take. Like, I think there's a little bit of entitlement from some of the people that come to these things. And it's like, look, you could get rid of everyone in this room and it would be a drop in the bucket for all of YouTube.
I think YouTube would be fine.
Yeah.
Like YouTube would be totally fine.
And that's one of the questions that I wanted to ask them. I'm like, look, thank you so much for inviting us here, but like, you don't really need us. So why are you throwing this for us? Like, what are you getting out of this other than us being like, you suck. Like, you know,
and they're constantly telling us like that they do need us, and that, like, do you know what I mean? They're like saying, oh yeah, you guys are this, and it's like, I feel like
I don't believe that.
That definitely like takes effect in some people.
Yeah, like, some people are like,
I it's like interesting to see the entitlement that some people get, and there are a lot of realistic people who are just like, you know, we're just happy to be here. You know, it's like we're glad the platform exists still.
Yeah,
which is that's the boat I'm in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, the one good question that was asked, I thought, was the issue of children on YouTube. Like, that's always kind of been like a weird thing for me. Like, you know, child labor, like, should a 7-year-old child be put on YouTube videos and worked, you know, day in, day out for their parents' YouTube channel? And I'm always like super sketchy about that. But how do you police that?
I mean, I feel like when they were talking about it, the only way I could see it being like 100% good all the time is that there's like an additional application where you actually get like investigated, where it's like, these are the working conditions.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you adopt a pet, you know, they come and see if it's like, can a cat live here and stuff? or adopt a child. That would be a very example.
Yeah.
Whose responsibility is that? Like, do you, like, with acting, with child actors, you know, you can only work a certain number of hours a day. There's a student teacher there that has to, like, you know, make sure that the kid is still studying and you know, taking classes and all this stuff. And there's a lot of regulation over that. So when it comes to YouTube, a parent could, you know, potentially be taking their kid out of school and just filming a bunch of YouTube videos and essentially fucking up this kid's life for the benefit of their own wallet.
I feel like it's like any of these things. When something new comes along, legislation takes time to catch up to it afterwards. So things like, you know, like drones or whatever, like it was like a free-for-all, and then like the legislation kicks in afterwards, sort of thing. When it comes to light that there's a problem, then it catches up. I feel like that's probably what's going to happen. I don't know how quickly it's going to happen because it takes time.
And there's probably a sense of that in the parents where they're like, oh, we've hit some gold here. We need to like get it all now.
We need to rinse this kid for all his worth.
And then the kid ends up getting affected by it.
Yeah, it's really sad, but like, you know, how are you going to enforce that? It's like a really difficult question.
It's also iffy on the level of like, the kid doesn't really have a choice at a young age on whether there's no consent really.
No.
So it's like,
because that's like giving, you know, it's like your parent or guardian. But if it's the parent or guardian that's making you do it in the first place, it's like, who do you?
Yeah, the kid might grow up to be like super embarrassed by it. Mm-hmm. And then it's just online, and they may never have had control of the channel themselves, which is iffy. And it's, YouTube's been around so long now that there were some people on stage today who were in high school, and when they grew up, they wanted to be a YouTuber. And now they're here as a YouTuber, like a top creator. Someone said that your video was like the first video they saw on YouTube.
Yeah.
So you've like influenced people who were children and are now here with us.
Now they're full grown adults.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Full grown adults.
Well, that was one of the YouTuber apps that was up there saying that. She was like, oh, yeah, I was a teenager. I was watching your thing. Mm. I'm like, oh, now you're telling us. Now you're like working for the company and saying like what we can or can't do. It's fun.
Yeah,
it's just weird, man. The children's stuff is just strange. And then, you know, the highest grossing YouTube channel right now is Ryan Toys Review. Not Ryan's Toy Review, Ryan Toys Review. I think he's 9 now or 7. Something. But from everything that I've heard, his dad actually does a really good job of being like, look, if you don't want to do anything, we don't do it. And he actually, his dad was here and kind of spoke to it. And he said, you know, he only works 5 hours a week on YouTube. And, you know, we have a way that if he wants to change anything or he's not excited about that, we can easily change whatever it is.
Clearly put in a lot of good stuff into effect, because I assume under very high scrutiny being at the level they're at. Because I met
That's
him.
That's a good point, actually.
I met him a couple of years ago, and it's just like a dude with a backpack. He was like talking to me. I was like, oh, what did you? Looked up his channel. I was like, Jesus Christ. The views on these videos. Their most viewed video has more views than our whole channel library combined.
Yeah, they have one video that has 1.1 billion views.
1.8.
1.8?
Yeah. I think we're at like 1.7 for our whole channel in like 9 years.
Yeah.
Which, and then you scroll down, it's like 950 million, 890 million. It's like, mm-hmm. God.
How many like millions of views does the channel have?
It's
like
29 billion.
29 billion.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's it. 29 billion. Yeah,
which is like several Earths.
That's insane.
It's absolutely insane. And he's like, you would never know it by meeting him. Like I looked it up expecting, because I meet a lot of people here and I'm like, honestly, I don't know 90% of the people here.
Right.
Because, and it's nice to meet them and learn. And I always look up their channels, and that one, I was just like, oh my good God.
Yeah.
That's insane. Just quietly existing amongst us.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about the channel. And then Gav leaned over to me and just showed me some of the stats while he was talking. I was like, what? What the hell?
Yeah, I think the estimate was that they make something like $13 million a year. But now they have a TV show, they have toys stores.
They have like clothing lines in like Walmart and Target and stuff. I couldn't believe it.
They have toys and everything.
Toys,
so it's probably quite a bit more than that. So good for them, man.
Yeah, very for good for them.
Well, the thing about the kid, though, is with a channel like Gav was saying, at that high profile, it's going to be scrutinized.
Yeah.
But then, which is kind of good because it stops anyone from exploiting their child to such a degree that they become that successful. Do you know what I mean? Because then they would be scrutinized and there would be a check that's put in place.
That's the hope. I just hope there's not like these sort of like lower sort of YouTubers that are just grinding the shit out of their kids in the hopes that, you know, they'll get somewhere. Mm. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a fan. But
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there was an arrest recently for like a mother and a son for putting their youngest kids through that like a rigorous shooting schedule and locking them in closets when they wouldn't do it.
I honestly think it's gonna like take. I mean,
it's just abuse.
How it always is with legislation, it's gonna take somebody dying to actually get something through. So
wow, we've really covered a range of topics today.
I think we're running up on time. Unfortunately, I guess one last question: if you had if somebody told you that you were going to die the next day, but you had to film one more slow-mo video, what would that slow-motion video be?
It'd probably be the death.
Right? Yeah, I'd like jump off a building or something.
Yeah. Ooh, oh, God.
It'd be like, if it was like, you know, I'd probably prepare and be like, what time am I going to die tomorrow?
Here's how landmines work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So like just the minute before I was going to die anyway, I'd do that.
Okay.
I'd just do that and it'd be like, there you go. That was better than just croaking it.
Gav?
I'm trying to think of like what was in my dream list of stuff that...
The fart?
Yeah, I definitely try to get the fart done.
That's what you do. One day left on the planet.
Yeah, that'd be it.
Brilliant.
A nice slow-mo guff. Great. Like the last puff of life.
Oh, yeah.
Your death rattle.
All right, well, Daniel, Dan, and Gavin, Gav... Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
Well, and that does it for that podcast. Thank you again to Gavin and Daniel. Awesome guys. Love talking about farts with them. One more thing I wanted to say. We just dropped our first ever clothing line. You guys can check it out right now at smosh.store. We got a hoodie, we got a t-shirt, we got a water bottle, we got a hat. We got You're My Favorite Pizza Place shirt for all you people out there that have been begging for more of that. So it's really cool. I think the hoodie is so freaking awesome. It's like a sort of cool tie-dye situation. And I'm really excited to see how this does. And I'm really excited to see you guys wearing this stuff. And if enough of you guys buy it, baby, we're just going to keep making more. We'll throw something at you guys every month. If you guys like it, we're going to keep bringing it. So smosh.store, get at it before it's gone. And bye-bye.